Welcome to Casual Conversations, brought to you by Momentum Ministries, helping you attain, maintain, and regain momentum for life. Let's join the conversation with Scott Wade, president of Momentum Ministries.
Good morning. Welcome to Casual Conversations. This is Scott Wade. I'm your host today. And every week, or most weeks anyway, on Casual Conversations, I'm glad that you're making this a part of your day today. And somebody else that I'm glad is making a part of their day is Reverend Steve Eng. Steve is back on with us. He's been a guest with us before. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Scott.
It's great to have you. Thank you for joining me. You were on before as a representative of the National Association of Evangelicals. And why don't you just take a minute before we get started on this Living In series, if you would tell us a little bit about the NAE.
Yeah, the NAE stands for the National Association of Evangelicals, and we've been around for 80 years representing and connecting evangelical leaders and other Christians and providing resources for them and also encouraging them to use the influence that God has given them to bless our nation. So, we're the nation's largest, most diverse network of evangelical organizations, including 40 different denominations, hundreds of Christian colleges, universities, nonprofits, networks, parachurch ministries. And so it's a delight. And I serve as advocacy director. And so then I get to talk to pastors and church leaders about the public policy work, which is one of the dimensions of what we do, and to encourage them to use their influence to bless our nation.
Well, I know you were with us here in South Carolina a month or so ago, and when you were here, you shared some materials with me and a group of men that we had gathered together and a church service that we attended, and you had other meetings as well. But anyway, you shared some materials with me, and I want you to know that people are interested in what the NAE does and advocating for those who are in tough places, and they just need help. And so we want to help the people that need that help. And so thank you for doing that and for the work of the NAE. And people, as I said, people are interested in your information that you gave me, the booklet that you gave me, the pamp or the brochures, those things, they move quicker off my book table than what my books do when I go out to speak. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, we're not here to talk about the NAE. We've done that before, right? But it's not a bad thing to talk about. Matter of fact, I'm real pleased that we can. But I had an idea. I don't know how long ago it was. I thought, you know, I'd like to talk to some of my friends about places where they live. And I started with a place or a couple places in mind. I thought, I don't know if I'd really want to live there. And when you were here in South Carolina, I was joking around with you saying, I'm going to do a series on where I wouldn't want to live. And can I include Minnesota? And you said, oh, no, I think you'd want to live here. It's a great place. You remember that conversation?
I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah. You said something about unusual places. We don't think it's unusual at all to live in Minnesota. Very normal.
It's very normal. Well, except for this year, the snow was not as deep and not as frequent. And
we hardly had any snow. We've had drought off and on, you know, over the last couple of years. And it was exceptionally warm. So we had days in January, February that oftentimes are below zero. And we had some temperatures in the 40s and 50s pretty regularly.
Wow. So if I'd visited this year, I might have been convinced that Minnesota would be the place for me, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think last time you were on the podcast, I mentioned the fact that I have I've read some books, both fiction and nonfiction, about Minnesota, and I just am fascinated with a place called the Boundary Waters. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the Boundary Waters? What is that?
Boundary Waters is a region in northeastern Minnesota. We call it the Arrowhead region because if you look on the map, it's sort of shaped like an arrowhead in the far northeastern corner. And it straddles the Canadian border, but there's many hundreds of lakes. They're crystal clear. It's pine forest. It's a wonderful place for fishing and hunting as well. There's bear and wolves. But they don't allow in the boundaries of the Boundary Waters. which refers, I think, to the U.S.-Canadian border because it's near the border. But that also within that zone, there are no motorboats allowed at all. Mm-hmm. So it's very quiet. People canoe from lake to lake, portage between lakes, go camping, and it's just people from many parts of the U.S. come to have a wilderness experience. Also, it's a place that is, they have these maps of the darkest places that aren't impacted by sea lights. And it's one of the darkest places at night too. And so it's a wonderful place for looking at the stars and just reveling in God's handy.
Man, that sounds fun. Maybe I do want to come to Minnesota.
Yep.
I have a bucket list thing that I want to do is to drive around all the Great Lakes. And I guess Lake Superior is one of those 10,000 lakes in your state. So I better find my way to Minnesota, hadn't I?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Hi, this is Amy. As you consider God's concern for you, we encourage you to practice the habit of prayer, just as Jesus did. You can also share your prayer request with us. Visit our website at momentumministries.org and click on the prayer tab. We at Momentum Ministries would be honored to pray for you. While you're on our website, check out our other resources too. And as always, we appreciate all those who support our ministry financially. Now let's get back to today's casual conversation.
What would you say would be the your favorite thing about living in Minnesota?
You know, asking about what's my favorite thing about Minnesota, it's hard to choose. And certainly family is huge for us because I was born and raised there and my wife has relatives in the area as well. But just the seasons are so special. And sometimes it's winter. And I mean, it is winter when it's winter. And if it's a day in the 20s and it's sunny and there's snow on the ground and snow in the trees, and I'm cross-country skiing in the woods, there's just something magical and stunningly beautiful about that. And spring is, you know, you're anticipating summer, and summer, there's so many lakes. And so people boat and fish and swim, and maybe the lakes are clean and sand bottom. And so a lot of people kind of live at the lake. You know, it could be any one of those 10,000 lakes. There's lots of homes and cabins around those lakes. And then fall, there's a lot of beautiful fall colors and crisp leaves and all of that, you know. So each season is distinctly beautiful, and we love that about Minnesota.
Well, I grew up in the, I guess, the Great Lakes region in northwestern Ohio, and the soil there was not sandy like it is in Michigan, because I've spent a lot of time in Michigan, and it's one of the things that was just fascinating to me. And you mentioned the sandy bottom lakes there is how much sand there is in those sand dunes in the western coast of Michigan. I don't know if you have that phenomenon on the western coast of Lake Superior or not, but why is there so much sand in that area of the country?
You know, it just really depends on the part of the state you live in. I live in a kind of a rocky part of the state in southeastern Minnesota that wasn't touched by glaciers. And so there's, you know, kind of limestone underneath. I think it was the glaciers that sort of ground up the dirt and stuff and spread it across the countryside. And there's places that have very rich in western Minnesota, deep black soil, and there's other places that have, you know, so there's a lot of different soil types, but it seems like where a lot of the lakes are were carved out by glaciers. And so I think the sand and the glaciers had something to do with each other.
Okay, so that the sandy areas are where the lakes are. By and large.
Yeah.
Okay.
By and large. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what's been the most challenging thing about living in Minnesota?
Well, they say we have two seasons, and that's winter and road construction. And so sometimes, you know, the challenge is just navigating the roads, though we have good highways. But that's a good question. I think when I was growing up, I had a January when I was in college. I remember this very distinctly, that there were 30 days in a row where the daytime high did not exceed 0 degrees. Oh. And so when I lived on a campus on a hill, and that wind came whipping over the hill, and we literally ran to class. You're like, oh, really? One day I came home, I'd been gone Went home that weekend, came back to my dorm room, which is just single pane glass at that point, and I opened my curtains and it was a wall of ice. So there were times, not so much now, when I was back in the old days, I guess you could say, where winters got pretty long. And when we lived in Western Minnesota, it was a little colder than where we live now in the state. And if you get, there was a couple of years where the ice didn't go off the lakes until like the first week of May, or you get snow, late April, and you go, really? I think this has been long enough, there are sometimes years like that that makes it pretty tough. See,
Well,
now you're confirming that you don't want to come here.
yeah,
So,
now we're going the wrong direction.
yeah, exactly.
Or just come before November. When does the first snow fly?
I would say anywhere between May to September, you're guaranteed with just really nice weather.
Okay, May to September. I'll try to keep that in mind in my travel plans as I fulfill my bucket list, getting around the Great Lakes. Well, tell me, what a life lesson or spiritual truth have you learned from living in Minnesota?
Well, I think one thing is just simply just admiring God's handiwork. There's just so many different geographic different ecosystems, so just the variety of God's handiwork. So on a natural basis, I think of that as far as people go. I've just really come to appreciate lots of different types of people in our state, whether that's people, and this is a growing edge for me, Native Americans who were here before we were. In the late 1800s, a lot of Scandinavians and Germans came in, and a lot of them had a deep faith or God was at work in their life, whether that was, Protestant or Catholic. And so just some really solid salt of the earth people. Many of them were farmers who had to endure a lot of hardships. And so living on the prairie, some lived in sod houses, or just, yeah, toughing those brutal winters back then. And then certainly today, we're a place that welcomes people from all around the world. And we've been particularly welcoming, I think, compared to maybe some other places. And so just to see the diversity of how God works through and gives us the opportunities to interact with people from all around the world is also a great learning and growing experience for many of us here in Minnesota.
Where I grew up in the Midwest, it wasn't the best place for welcoming outsiders. And my experience in the Southeast has been, in many cases, has been the same. What makes Minnesota, more open that way?
It's a really good question. I think some of it is a Northern European heritage that says we're kind of all in this together. And people who at least historically have endured hardship maybe understand and appreciate others who've endured hardship in their life, which has led them to come here. So that might be part of it. We're as diverse as a lot of parts of the country. There's people who are more red or more blue, depending on where you come from. But I think there is some appreciation just for getting to know people who are different from us, and understanding that people can be a blessing. But there are also challenges with that too. I mean, not everybody's welcoming, and we can all be feel threatened at times. But for the most part, I think Minnesota is sort of known for that sense of welcome, and maybe for some of the reasons I outlined.
I do appreciate Reverend Steve Eng appearing on Casual Conversations with me today. And I would encourage all of our listeners to go on the website for the NAE, the National Association of Evangelicals, and find out just how you can be involved in being a part of positive change for our nation and our world.
All right. Anything before we finish up? Is there anything else that you would want to share with our listeners?
I since the theme of it is sort of like what do I love about my state, I love the arts and the culture. There's a vibrant business community here, And a lot of Fortune 500 companies are located in the Minneapolis metropolitan area. And so all of that, what an urban culture sort of offers, but then the rural culture that was for so many years based on small family farms and people who really depended on God for their provision, and just a deep faith that was part of so many people who lived in more rural parts of the state. And now, of course, there's far fewer family farms, and farmers are much more business oriented now. They have to be really savvy. But I love farmers. I loved when we lived in the north, in the western part of the state. Some farmers are some of my favorite people. And then also, you know, healthcare is really big here in Minnesota. And I live in Rochester in southeast Minnesota, which is home of the Mayo Clinic. And Newsweek just said, I think for the, I don't know if it was the fourth or the 10th year in a row, that Mayo's is literally the world's best hospital. And so so we're a small city with just, yeah, probably the best healthcare in the whole world. So this is a really fascinating part of the state with top tier doctors and scientists and medical technicians and all of that goes with that. And Mayo is just investing $5 billion in our community in the coming years to make us really kind of hopefully the destination of choice for people from around the world. So that's pretty exciting to be a part of a community like that as well. And so there's just a lot to appreciate. And so a lot to be grateful for living here in Minnesota.
Well, for years, people didn't move to the South, but then they invented air conditioning. So they started moving south. And there's still heat available. So if you move to Minnesota, you could turn your heat
still
up.
Heat. You know, I've lived in other parts of the country where maybe the outside temperature isn't as cold as it is in Minnesota, but the houses are built really well. And if you're inside, you know, by a crackling fire, there's no suffering here, you know, for most people. So
yeah,
it's a good place.
All right. Well, we do appreciate you joining us today. And before we go, two things I want to do. I want you to pray for us. I appreciate your prayers for me and your heart and concern for the work of the NAE, advocating for those who can't advocate for themselves. And I also want you just to kind of, after you pray, to finish up with maybe a statement of how this is an election year, so how people can get involved, how they can contact the NAE or contact you and contact their congressman, whatever they want to, you know, however they want to get involved in the whole political scene. So first pray, and then maybe bring it to a close with a little word on NAE.
Sounds great. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you have created people all across the world, and you've rooted them in places. Some maybe aren't as fortunate to live in their homeland, that they are fleeing because of all sorts of the challenges, warfare, many reasons. But we thank you for the gift of place. We thank you for the gift of creation. We thank you for the gift of people, neighbors that you have put us in proximity with. And so, Lord, wherever you have placed our listeners today, would you help them to bloom and thrive where they're planted, help them to represent you well to the neighbors that you have given them. And Lord, help us to continue to be students of your creation, students of the culture in which we are placed, people who are curious and grateful. And Lord, may that grow as we seek to represent you well and bring your good news to the nations and also right to the neighborhoods in which we live. So we thank you for all of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you invited me to just give a little commercial or a next step. What I say often, and you've heard me say this, Scott, is that so many people are sort of wary of politics, and I get that. But we say often that politics involves policies, and those policies impact real people, and those are people that God loves. So just as we're called to love our neighbors in very compassionate, you know, acts of kindness, acts of love, sometimes there are structures or systems that are set up there that are not entirely fair. And so that's where our voice matters, where we can speak for and with those who may be struggling. And we want our nation to be a nation where there's justice and and we can just create the environment where people can truly thrive. And so we encourage people to reach out. One of the best ways is to find resources on our website, nae.org. /resources, and there's many different topics. You can click on the button. And then for people, if they can, we really encourage them to at least write one letter to their member of Congress. And if you go to nae.org/take-action, so take-action at nae.org. And then we have sample letters that people could write, and they can fully edit to say what they want to say. But we're trying to make it easier for people to speak up. And so that's a good starting place for people to start with. Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thanks again for being on Casual Conversations. And thanks for the work that you and your fellow workers at NAE are doing.
Thanks, Scott. Always a joy to be with you.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to today's Casual Conversations. Join us again next time, and God bless you.
Thanks for listening in on Casual Conversations, brought to you by Momentum Ministries. Visit our website at MomentumMinistries.org. That's Momentum Ministries with two M's in the middle, .org. God bless you and have a great day.